This power of analogy, you were saying.
Yes, I think it's very great. But of course, it's so sad that so much is in the conversation. I mean, there are the works, of course, but they don't. Most of them don't do full justice to the conversational abilities.
Yeah. How harshly would you judge the fact that there is no great single work? You can claim that you've written a kind of large, big book.
It's not big, no. It's about 250.
So it's big in the sense of
large in terms of influence.
I see.
I don't mean to flatter you needlessly, but you've written a very important piece of work against which people will argue and have been arguing.
Yes.
The same is not the case of Isaiah.
I attribute so little importance to this myself. I really can't see. I think it's a great shame that somehow his quality won't be preserved in his works. Would it have been preserved if you'd written a great book? I don't know. That might have been incompatible with his genius.
I don't think he ever really wanted to.
Yeah.
He didn't see himself as doing this. He sees himself as doing these, dipping in, doing this sort of thing. Yes, I think he probably...
Right at the beginning.
But there are quite a lot of them now, of course.
Yes. Right at the beginning, he did have a project of writing about the intellectual background of the Russian Revolution.
Yes.
And that sort of...
Yes. He used to be... I remember Woodward in All Souls a long time ago, in the business associate or some such time, saying to me that it was ridiculous that this chatterer just talked away, whereas like I really like books, and of course Rouse thinks the same.
Well, yes, Rouse is sort of the envious. Rouse says, of course, my success, with which he's not for much to speak, is due to very great industry as well as my other qualities. I go to the libraries. Isaiah doesn't go to the library and take down into one notebook and then transfer that to another notebook. He doesn't do that kind of thing, yet everybody thinks he's absolutely wonderful.
Which, of course, now he is doing, isn't he?
Well, he's trying to
do something with philanthropy.
Yes, these are the lectures in Washington, yes, an extraordinary story.
But when Rice said that some time ago, that's a sort of attitude. There are people who are critical.
I don't know. As long as his quality could be in some way preserved, or the memory of it.
Well, the letters would do that, of course. To a very considerable extent, because the letters are like his conversation.
Yes, that's why they're
I
so important.
I do hope
we're
going to get Herbert.
Have you thrown them all away, for God's sake?
Well, Herbert, but there are a lot
of people. Do you think you'll
I didn't
them?
Have very many of them. Right. So too regularly, I didn't. He wrote to me. Yes, I did throw them away.
Well, let's stop there. Okay. Let me ask you about going to school with Eileen in the late 20s. Do you have any recollection of her?
Not very much. We went. It was a funny school. You only went twice a week, and you went and did your prep at home. So I didn't really know her very much.
Yes.
But I had a picture of this there, which I produced.
Yes.
No, I really hardly knew her.
Yes.
A French school, you don't really make friends.
Yes.
You just work really hard when you're there and go away. But she was obviously quite an intelligent girl.
Yes.
She's a year younger than me, and we were in the same form, so she must have been quite bright.
No. review for me again. Again, this may simply be because I'm not attending carefully enough. You may have already said this. When exactly you first met him?
No, I haven't said it. He thinks it was... I was talking to him the other day because I was telling him I was going to be seeing you, which he already knew. He thinks it was 1933. I think it was 1934, but it doesn't really matter very much. I was an undergraduate, and he says that I was invited to a meal with All Souls. There was an old boy there called Turner, who was a friend of my father's and sort of slightly admired me, I think, and invited me to lunch in All Souls and produced Isaiah to entertain me.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I met him first at dinner at the Fishers. I used to go to Morden New College.
H.A.L.
Yes, H.A.L. Fisher. Again, my father knew him, and his daughter Mary was at Somerville. And I used to occasionally go to their grand dinner parties. And I just put beside Isaiah, and I just thought it was the most wonderful thing I've ever met. He kept me hysterical laughter most of the evening. And then he used to invite me to meals in All Souls at intervals. And I met people like Maurice Barra through him. And, well, people like Stuart and Norman Brown. There were a lot of these Bowman Street group. Jasper Ridley. Well, it was a fantastic group of very intelligent undergraduates and young graduates who were very friendly with Isaiah. This was in 34, 34.
Why was it called the Bowman?
They lived in Bowman Street.
In Bowman Street.
7 Bowman Street. And it was a very lively, nice group. Two of them were killed in the war. And so I saw a certain amount of him then. But I wasn't terribly intimate with him. I was frightened of him, of course, because I felt dreadfully inferior. My type of mind very different from his. Nothing like so comprehensive. And I was always frightened of being shown to be no good, you know. But I enjoyed his company, obviously.
Wonderful. What physical impression did he make on you when you first met him? And what did he look like? How did he strike you?
Well, as I say, I think very much the same as now. He's always thought him as very unattractive because he regarded himself as fat. And he's got this bad arm, you know, he's got the cripple. And he thinks he's very ugly. But I don't know, I didn't really notice very much of him. I'm just interested in what he said and thought.
But you didn't think of him as a kind of incredibly clever and charming character who was sort of repulsive in some
way? No, because people aren't usually repulsive when their characters are interesting and come through. I mean, there are repulsive people, but it's usually part of their character. But because he's so, well, he said warm and charming and benevolent in a way. No, I didn't. But I think he thought of himself as repulsive. I mean, I think he thought that he could never have any relations with women.
Did you think of him in the early 30s, I'm talking about the early period now, as sort of sexless character?
I don't know if I did think of him like that, but I think looking back, I suppose I would have. I mean, I never imagined that any woman would have sexual relations with him, I suppose. I think I thought that. He's always... I mean, I think you must ask him what he wants to tell you about his love life. He's capable of great passion. I mean, there were girls around then, some of whom I knew, well, certainly two, who he was very much, very, very fond of. I mean, he's capable of great emotional feeling and can fall in love. But I don't know if I thought much about him. Like whether he had sexual relations with people or not, I don't know. Thinking about that much.
You saw Mary Fisher in the 30s?
Yes, a certain amount. I was never a close friend of hers. But as I say, my parents knew her parents. And she was at Somerville. She was senior to me. Isaiah, of course, are you going to talk to her, incidentally?
I'd like to,
yes. Because he knew her very well, and I think if he ever got round to thinking of whom he might marry, I should think she was on the list, so to speak. Though she was rather cold, calculating character. She never fell in love herself. She allegedly had lists herself of who she might marry, but it's not quite the way to go about it. But I mean, he liked her, and she's very, very clever and interesting and amazing character. And there was a great deal in common they had to talk about. He went to Ireland with her and Christopher Cox, and they knew her very well. I don't think he was ever in love with her.
Was there ever a period when he was in love with you?
Well, I don't know how to answer that.
Well,
so I don't really honestly know what, you know, what he wants to.
Well, I'll tell you what he's told me.
Yes.
He said that you were incredibly important to him in the immediate sort of post-war period, 47, 8, 9. He was devoted to you, speaks of a physical relationship with you, speaks of it discreetly, but with great affection and tenderness, and obviously owes you a very great deal, and feels that without you he would not have known what, you know, physical affection with a woman would have been, is what he says. I mean, that's what he's saying. I, being his biographer, I'm not in a position to assess anything. I'm simply telling you what he says. So well, that's what I believe to be the case.
Yes. Well, I didn't know he would have said that, because I assumed that he wouldn't wish to say this. But I mean, it is all true. We had a fantastic approach. So I suppose he actually didn't even start in 1950. Until he suddenly married. They were both. But it was great. But you see, he was always incredibly worried about Herbert and didn't want to hurt anyone. I mean, he's very sensitive and doesn't want to hurt anyone.
Yes.
And it was a very difficult, tricky situation. But Herbert never knew, though, because I was interested to know whether he was going to reveal this. Isaiah always had this feeling that he must be truthful, because, you know, he is. And that's one of the great things about him, and about, I think, Russians in a way, too, because he got the intellectuals. And at one time he thought he must tell Herbert he couldn't go on living this lie, because we were all living so near each other. And he was constantly in the house, or I was. They had rooms opposite each other, and I was in my dad's room. But he loved excitement, of course. It was extraordinary. And so one time he went to Herbert and said, "Look, I'm in love with your wife." Do you know what Herbert said? "Not possible."
Really?
Yeah.
And what did he mean by that?
Well, he's always regarded, I suppose he meant it wasn't possible.
It could mean various things, couldn't it? I mean, it could mean simply...
Well, it could mean no one could be in love with my wife, because she's so awful. It
could also mean I'm in love with my wife, and that simply precludes her being in love with someone else.
Oh, he didn't say I was in love with him.
No.
As I said, I'm in love with her.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything about my feeling about him. No, I think Herbert meant, how could anyone, because I wasn't the sort of person anyone could fall in love with, which wasn't actually quite the situation. But Herbert is, you know, he's not very into personal relations. Anyway, that cleared the air a bit, because I felt he'd done his stuff. And enough, Herbert didn't seem worried. Then I think he did it again another summer, because this went on, this affair with him went on lasted barely 5 years, you see, long time, as affairs go. And I think he came again the next summer. And so Herbert said to me, "Isaiah goes mad every summer. He says he's in love with you." I said, "Oh dear."
This would have been down in Cornwall.
No.
Where is this? Is this in Oxford?
Yes.
Yes. Every summer, he said.
Yes, every summer. I mean, July or something. And Herbert said something comes over him, obviously, in the summer. He thinks he's in love with you.
Yeah.
But again, he rushed it aside. And that was all right, I suppose. I mean, Herbert, as you saw, never... He didn't spoil my relationship with Herbert, which, Isaiah never suggested I should leave Herbert and marry him, which I think would have been unsuitable anyway, because I think I would have felt inadequate to marry him.
Why?
Well, because I'm not up to him intellectually. Well, I'm not saying I'm up to Herbert intellectually, but his intellect is very different from mine. That matters to me very much. I mean, it's a matter of marriage. And that I wouldn't be able to cope somehow with his sphere of interest.
Yeah.
And anyway, I didn't want to leave Herbert. Partly I was fond of him and the children. I mean, I never wanted to, and I've never been very worried, I think, as I was but he wouldn't have, because he never thought it was totally wrong.
Yeah.
What about him? What's something wrong?
Yeah.
It's difficult for me to know what's actually germane to this biography or not. So, I may ask questions that may intrude on your privacy, but I'm just wondering how the affair started, whether it was at his initiation or yours, or how it happened.
Well, I'd always been very fond of him, and I think he'd always been quite fond of me.
Mm.
But there were times when we'd never seen each other, and it wasn't fair at all. Mm. Well, I began seeing more of him when I came back to Oxford, and there he was in Dick College, and living in Dick College Lane. Mm. And we both saw a great deal of him, and we just became much more interested in each other. Well, I mean, what actually happened was he was lying in bed, purporting to be ill, because he's fairly hypochondriacal, of course. Mm. And I think Herbert said, "Oh, would you better go round?" I said, "He's not ill, and want someone to look after him." Because it was all a very open sort of thing. And I think I went round, and he was lying in bed, and he just suddenly pulled me down onto the thing. And then we were away. Mm-hmm. And for him it was incredibly exciting, because nothing like this had ever happened to before, with guys and endless love affairs with other people. Mm-hmm. And so for him, it was terribly important to me too, but in a sense it was more important for him, because it was his first, as far as I know, physical relationship.
Well, he's quite clear about that. Mm. He's quite clear about how important.
Mm. And I think, he has in fact said to me that if it hadn't been for his affair with me, he would have never seen himself as marriageable and taken fun. And I often think one affair leads on to another. I don't know if you've felt that in your life.
Mm.
I in fact was having a tremendous affair with Michael Oakeshott before I was and was deeply in love with him. I was, relations with Herbert were not very good. I was feeling very miserable. And having this great affair with Michael. And I behaved very badly when he dropped Oakeshott. But I meant one affair sometimes gets you into sort of mood of having another one or
keep up.
And so I think possibly he moved on to Aline. Well, he'd known, you know exactly where he met, he'd known us quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it enabled him to take the plunge.
Mm.
And although I was terribly upset at the time, our affair was peaching out, like after 5 years as I was expected to. And so it was awful at the time.
Did you, well, let's follow it in order. I mean, it went on for 5 years. Did you have much time together, or was it always slightly kind of furtive and slightly hurried, or were you able to go away together?
No, we were never able to go away together. It was rather furtive, you're quite right. Well, we used to, we used to meet in churches.
No, he didn't.
Because I don't know how we fell into this, but they seemed to be safe places with no one else ever in the church.
Yeah.
So it was all uncomfortable, sometimes in churchyards.
Yeah.
And in his room in college. Also it was easier in New College, obviously, but even there it was very difficult, because normally he had it. An open room, and people used to be, David Cecil once came in the middle and said, "Oh, am I interrupting the love scene?" So, get out of that. No, it was rather flirty, though occasionally we met, perhaps only once. Oh, it was a terrible occasion. Mind you, none of this ought to be repeated, I think.
Yeah.
I feel this is your story, not my story. I'm not at liberty to do what I want with it.
His parents were away from his house in London, and he was allowed to use the house, well, the Keaton house. He suggested we should spend the night there. So that was going to be a long night, a glorious night. The disaster was we were in bed together, and neighbours had been told to keep an eye on the house in case there were burglars. And seeing a light, they decided. So that was all wrecked.
And they actually came in?
Yeah, they actually came in, but they didn't. I don't think they discovered me. I don't know. They got into bed or what. I mean, but anyway, even if they knocked on the door and no, he used to occasionally suggest we should go to a hotel in London, but I don't know if that's going to be his call. So it was these rather mad meetings, and as I say, he liked the excitement. In a way, he liked that, being in a dangerous situation. Years on daughter is, I think.
Yeah.
And which I was rather alarmed about at the time. When he came to our house and think that it was all right. And I said, look, the children may walk in. That in a way excited him.
Yeah.
Because it was also very exciting for him.
I hope you won't find this vulgar, but I mean, one of the things he says about you is he found you tremendously attractive. He just found you tremendously, he still thinks of you as a tremendously attractive woman. I'm just wondering whether you felt the same.
About him?
Yeah.
Do I find him physically attractive
now?
Well, I don't long to go to bed with him.
Thinking back now to the early 50s, did you find him physically attractive?
Well, yes, but partly because I'm normally attracted by people's minds and then the rest follows.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't really go in for the beautiful shapes.
Yeah.
If the person interests me, that's all right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like having physical relationships with him, certainly. But if I come into a room where he is now, I don't immediately feel I must go up and... But partly at my age, I don't really have any sexual feelings any longer, actually. That's what I'm saying. The world's dried up.
When did you first become aware of Eileen of his interest in Eileen?
Well, I knew he knew her. I don't think until this terrible moment in the Quadrant All Souls, after the senior lunch, when I think it was Stuart Hampshire or Donald Buckley, someone came up to us and said, hey, have you heard the latest news? Isaiah is getting married. And that was, he tried to get hold of me to tell me, because I hadn't seen him for a few times. That's how I heard it. So that, no, I didn't know he was very interested in her. And then, of course, he rang me up and said, come see me. I just felt I'd been very lucky to know him so long. I remember him saying, cry, my child, cry. But I mean, he could see the full sort of horrible situation. Well, I think he'd been too nervous to tell me before, to understand. I don't know how rapidly he told her, but I think I have been told. Then, I mean, after I'd got over the shock, and I knew it was right in a sense, and I thought it was right. We went on seeing each other. Talk about the relationship.
Did your relations with him continue after the marriage?
You mean physical relations? Mm-hmm. Did he say anything about this?
He suggested that there had been relations with someone after his marriage, but he didn't say it with him.
Mm. Well, I expect it was me. In a not haphazard way.
That must have been a painful business.
For me. Well, no, I think I'm sorry to say that I was pleased that he didn't just totally drop me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think our line always was, as long as Aline didn't know anything, and we were all very, very happy about that, as long as Herbert didn't know anything, as long as the outside world didn't know anything, if that's how he felt.
I'm not shocked.
But it was fairly intermittent. And there's many things that there's a chance that, you know, if you happen to meet one in the street, you'd say, come and talk to me.
Yeah.
And of course, it's usually sort of arranged beforehand.
Yeah.
But,
can you remember how long that went on?
I should think until, it wasn't very often, I should think until about 59. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's part of his clinging to the past, I think. That's why he likes living, likes thinking about the past, and likes recreating his feelings about the past.
Yeah. And what you're saying is he didn't want to give up the past.
Yes.
Mm.
No,
and neither did you.
What?
And neither did you.
No.
This is a difficult question, but what do you really feel your husband actually knows about this story?
I don't think he knows anything. A lot of people won't believe this. Very few people know. I say a lot of people, it's not true. Because very few people know about ourselves and our relations. And we've always understood that no one would know. But I think I have told. I think I have told two people. And they refuse to believe it because husbands usually are on the lookout. Mm-hmm. But Herbert is very unusual in this respect. And I really think this is true.
Is it possible that he knows and simply understands what you need? Is that what you
want? No. I've had a great many affairs since marriage. And he hasn't known about most of them. He was a bit jealous once, I think, of William Block. Because when he came to New College, and I lived in London for 2 years, and he used to come back the weekend, and we lived in the same house as the Blocks, things got a bit difficult. In fact, it was partly because I thought the marriage would break up if I didn't move to Oxford.
Yeah.
I was not reliable enough. Left on my own.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Herbert ever overheard. Well, I think he knew vaguely that, vaguely that something went on between my directors and me. But he regarded all as rather unimportant in some way.
Do you resent that?
No. No, I think I'm not pleased.
I mean, you might resent it in the sense that here's a man you've lived with who doesn't understand you.
Best of some things you shouldn't understand.
Mm. Yeah. This is another difficult question, but in your relations with men, do you think of your relationship with Isaiah as especially important?
Oh yes, absolutely. The most important in my life, really. The most intense, I guess. I mean, not that my relationship with her hasn't been very important too. I'm also very much in love with her, but on the whole it's been a good marriage. Marriage is good. Mm. Oh, but no, it's in my parents' eyes, it's absolutely central. Partly because it was so unbelievable. I'd never seen him, never fancied him. Been doing that for the thing that he was interested in. So I was overcome. I suppose my base motive, I think I was all flattered. Being sort of taken up by this great man. And sometimes I felt a bit humiliated because occasionally he would take me to a concert. And I felt it was very keen that no one in the outside world should think there's anything between us, which is absolutely correct and right, and according to the rules of the thing, but sometimes I felt a bit humiliated. Why should I have to be hidden like this?
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's quite right.
Mm. And you really did not think it would ever lead to anything else? You describe it as if you both always knew that it had a certain foregiven set of limits. But is that really?
Well, limits only in the sense that I didn't think he was ever going to suggest that I should leave her and marry him.
Yeah.
Limits in that sense.
But would you have a yeah?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Partly because as I've already really answered, I think I would have felt inadequate, which I feel I don't feel as inadequate with Herbert, though I am inadequate in various ways compared with his brain. But as a whole cultural sort of ambiance, and also because of the children and all that. No, I don't think I would have. But I don't think he ever, I don't know if you asked him whether he ever thought of marrying me.
I've not asked him that question.
But I think almost certainly his answer would be no, partly because he was very, very fond of Herbert. I mean, I've got a lot of letters where he says how loves Herbert, or likes Herbert, and admires him. He's such a good man, and the last thing he ever wanted to do was hurt him. Which it would have taken up as appalling. So I shouldn't imagine it ever crossed his mind.
What did your children ever know about her?
Well, they didn't know at the time. Well, they knew he rang up and came to the house a lot because he was constantly ringing up and coming round. And I think I have mentioned it to them since. But they're not really very interested and one doesn't want to worry them, so I want them to think, the past history now, of course, but I think I've only more or less told it to them recently, just sort of rather en passant, because like all children, they always think they're very worried. Have you got children of your own? They're always worried that the marriage is likely to break down. I remember one of my sons, at the age of about 8, said to me, when you divorce, will you put the interests of children first? I mean, he had no evidence that we were going to divorce at all, and it's never been on the tuppy actually, because I've always believed in an old-fashioned way, marriages which were going to last, but you have lots of affairs, because you want lots of affairs as you can, and your way, and the marriage is sufficiently solid to carry these, being my sort of philosophy, and it's a general structure, which is quite agreeable. Certainly good friends, and probably have sexual relations, and have children, and property, and all this. But you have affairs at the same time, so it can get too long. And very often, I've been much nicer to her than I've been having an affair. So when I said something to children about this, they weren't and she said, oh, why don't you?
Well, I'm not sure.
I don't think you could ask me.
Well, that suggests there's more to tell.
Well, maybe not really.
No, I think it's not for me to be the messenger of his opinions to you, and you know them anyway, but I was very struck when I didn't ask him about this. He volunteered his side of the story.
Mm.
He volunteered his side of the story, not, but in a very discreet way, and with a great sense that it was the making of him.
Mm. Mm.
In a very deep emotional way, and that's why it's important to the biography. I mean, I have no idea how to deal with this and how to talk about it.
No. It's a problem, isn't it? Aline, of course, knows that he and I had an affair. Incidentally, I suppose you're going to be talking to her.
Yes, I will.
Yes. She doesn't know, I think, the extent of it, either in terms of time, I imagine she doesn't know, either in terms of time or how important it was to either of us. I don't think she knows that. Probably she doesn't want to, really. She hasn't probed.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a very sensitive or timorous character. I don't think she'd want to
probe,
but some people want to know when they marry someone all about their previous affairs. Others don't, and I would thought she was in the general group of not wanting to know that, but she knows we did have an affair. I don't think she knows, in fact, I'm pretty certain she doesn't know anything went on after the marriage. I would imagine that would be absolutely not.
Yes, I'm glad I make that clear.
Yes. And that's obviously very important. Because I'm very offended by you. I'm very good friends. I mean, we haven't got all that much in common in some sense. But, I'm close friends.
I understand.
We see a lot. We see a lot of them. In recent years, we've seen a lot of them. Very often, completely informal. They just say, come up for the evening. I don't often go out after a meal, but I don't always want to talk. But Isaiah was always encouraging me to, as I said before, I think, to give Aline confidence and to be nice to her and ask her to go for walks and ask her to play tennis and things like that, which hasn't been quite as successful, but she's really a bad walker.
And you're a rangy, long strider.
Well, I used to be. I don't know if I still am, but she sort of saunters along. And sometimes he's complained that, well, he used to complain that that I didn't ask her to our house. Well, I used to ask her quite a lot, but she always seemed to find a reason. Well, she'd say she thought she could come, and didn't know if she could, she might be doing something else. And you got the feeling she might have something more important. Invitation, and then she would come perhaps for 10 minutes until she'd got to Rushford. And I thought, well, this was really, she didn't really want to come. But he said, oh, well, it's because she's frightened of you.
Yeah.
And this may be true for instance.
Did he ever talk about any other relations with other women?
Did he tell you anything about people he fell in love with in the 30s?
Yes.
I mean, there's this girl called Rachel Walker coming in as Tips, yes, who I knew very well. She was a son of his. And I think he was passionately in love with her. And yes, he talked about this quite a lot subsequently.
Mm.
And the whole saga about him. She slept. She was caught in all cells one night when he was sleeping in his bed and he sat on the bed. I don't know. But, she went into a madhouse. Not entirely due to him, I don't think they had talked. And then there was this Patricia de Benenden woman, whom I didn't really know, who I was instinctively jealous of. I don't know that, in the late 30s or 40s. And I was sufficiently fond of Isaiah to be jealous of Patricia, undoubtedly, because I knew he was in love with Patricia. But I don't know what he said about it to me. I don't think he did say very much, actually.
I have to to ask you,
yes,
what's the status of your letters, the letters between you and him? What letters you have?
Well, I have some, what you might call innocuous ones, but also some innocuous ones, which he used to tell me to destroy, which I didn't destroy. Did he mention that he would have destroyed them?
No.
I feel pretty sure he destroyed any for me, I would think.
Yeah.
But I didn't destroy them, I have got them.
Well, that's, why don't we leave it there?
Mm.